Good afternoon. Welcome to Live with MJ, where I have the distinct pleasure of interviewing some of the greatest names in sports, entertainment, and corporate America. For those of you who are first-time listeners, my name is MJ. I am the president and founder of Inter Public Relations, and I'm joined today by my co-host, Gina Mason. Hello, Gina.
Hi, MJ. How are you?
I'm doing great, thank you. And today, I would like to welcome our very special guest, Mr. Steve DeLisi. Steve has become known for his more than 15 years as a band leader and lead singer for Hank Lane Music. With a voice that can easily range from Frank Sinatra to Journey's Steve Perry to the great Andre Bocelli, Steve began to receive early recognition as an outstanding singer while a student at Pace University, where he ultimately received a degree in finance. In 1979, he was voted Best Male Vocalist in the Summer School of the Arts competition among more than 3,000 contestants from around New York State. However, Steve really burst on the scene nationally and was the most voted for performer in 1986 on TV's original Star Search. The next year, he recorded a national commercial for Mothers Against Drunk Driving, and Steve has appeared on NBC's Today Show on the popular morning programs Today Throws a Wedding segment. He's also appeared several times on the WE Channel's My Fair Wedding with David Tutera for celebrity wedding planner David Tutera and sang the traditional wedding first dance at Ivanka Trump's wedding. He has also performed with stars such as Whitney Houston in Atlantic City, New Jersey. Steve and his band can frequently be seen at dozens of charitable galas and corporate events each year. Steve, thank you so much for joining us today. It's been a long time. How are you?
Very well. Did I do all of that? Wow. It sounds like I've been around a long time.
you know, I'm really impressed. This is just wonderful.
Good. Well, how are you?
Good for you. I'm doing well, thank you.
Before you interview me, how are you guys doing? Good?
We're doing great. it's been quite a journey and a very fun and exciting one for us. I feel blessed and fortunate to do what I do every day and love it. So.
Great. So where should
just
I
like
start?
You.
I leave it up to you. Where should I start?
Okay, so we have a few questions for you. So let's start from the beginning. You've been in the music business for such a long time. Mm-hmm. When did you develop your love for music?
Well, I'd have to say at an early age, you tend to do things that you really excel at and that you really like. And I found that at a very early age, I could sing. That was one of my strong points, which gave me a lot of attention. And if anyone that knows me, I like attention, right? So,
of course.
What happened from there is that I started really fostering my ability to sing, and then through my early years and up in high school and stuff like that, at a very young age I was with the Metropolitan Opera Children's Choir, so my voice is classically trained. And when I became a teenager, what did I want to do? I aspired to be a rock star. But that
right.
didn't really pan out as much as I would have liked it to have been, although I can take you through a journey where you're going to see some really wonderful things. But that being said, I kind of really started auditioning for shows and trying to get record deals, and what popped into my in front of me at that point was the Star Search show, which I auditioned, and I went on to perform and do quite well on it, and that started opening other avenues for me and really get me to the place where I'm at today, which is one of the premier bands in all of New York with the premier company in the country being Hank Lane Music and Productions.
When did you first start performing with them?
I started performing with Hank Lane. I basically left my company that I was at in Westchester back in, I believe, 1990. And I moved over to Hank Lane Productions. And it's just been a wonderful ride for me musically and really working with family. And that's what we really try to foster at Hank Lane, is a family atmosphere, where we treat all our clients as family when we're speaking to them and when we're creating an event. And what I mean by creating event is, you know, more often than not, especially in the wedding and production and corporate type of environment, people like to see things as people think it's a cookie cutter type of a production. And for us, we really take it and really try to design, not try, but really design an event and a musical experience for the client that is second to none. Because what it's about is really creating moments. And you always want to create a moment right. in someone's life when you're doing a wedding or you're doing any event. And I think that's what right. really sets us apart. That's what really sets us apart.
You know, accomplishing the success that you have, do you still have any mentors or musical influences in your life today? I'm sure you had them growing up, obviously, but now at this point in your career.
At this, well, there's a few mentors that I like to. I routinely think of them in my head, and this is sometimes I'll sit back. Like this weekend, I'm at the Borgata performing in front of 1,500 people. And it's not something that I think is, it's almost like, not like it's routine, but I appreciate every opportunity that I have. So I guess one of my big mentors that still holds a lot of water for me is Hank Lane himself. This is a gentleman that's a larger-than-life personality who has been able to mentor and create an environment for singers such as myself and bands such as myself to grow and prosper. So from a musical standpoint, it's him. My personal music, I guess, icons that really I grab a lot of inspiration from is Lionel Richie. I'm a big fan of his. I've gotten to perform with him on a few different occasions, and he's as wonderful on stage as he is off stage. So it's quite humbling that, you know, one day you can be playing one specific place, then you can be on stage with Lionel Richie or performing with Frankie Valli. That's the circles that our company works in, and those are the circles. And to feel that we're on the same level and can create a musical experience for our end client, that's, you know, it's really impactful for us. So we like that.
Wow, that's incredible. Not too many people can, you know, say that or even speak to that. And which leads me to a question. When you, I'm sure you watch The Voice, and mm-hmm. when you see, you know, the talent up there performing, or even some of the celebrities that are giving feedback, how do you feel like, you know, having all the experience you have and knowledge, do you often agree with them? How do you feel about the talent? Can you speak to that?
Yeah, well, you know what it is, MJ? The industry, especially the record industry, has changed so much over the years. You know, when you came off of Star Search, or even you came off of American Idol back in the beginning, when you had the Kelly Clarksons of the world and you had the Carrie Underwood of the world and so on and so forth, you actually went from the show to a record contract, and then you were produced and put out. With the saturation of these music competitions that are out right now, it's sad because they get that 15 minutes of fame on TV, and then they go by the wayside. Is the talent right. where it needs to be? I don't really think so. I think a lot of the talent is just good. I mean, would they be able to work for us? Absolutely. Maybe, probably not. We would have to put them through what's called our musical boot camp. I think the show is more around what demographic do you really hit? Do you fit that demographic? And that's the reason why they put you through the show. So I don't think it's really about talent. For us at Hank Lane, we routinely bring, you know, singers and musicians in, and they have to go through a pretty arduous boot camp to really come up to the standard that we have, you know, come to be known as from a music standpoint before they can even join our bands. So it's kind of a catch-22. Sometimes you see some good ones. Sometimes you see people and you say, like, geez, why are they even on TV? You can't make it up. But, you know, that's
right.
that's the TV industry that we're in, and I'm sure you could attest to it in your space as well.
So. Oh, no, absolutely. I mean, sometimes I often wonder, even when they're down to the last few finalists, like, okay, what are they thinking? But I know they're letting the audience, I guess, you know, partake by voting, but you often wonder, I mean, the people that are doing the voting, how much experience do they have or whatever, but it's a great show, and they will go on, and hopefully the people who do win can really do much more, because like you said, they kind of fall to the wayside. You know, outside of like Kelly Clarkson and maybe two or three others, you don't really hear.
Really, you don't hear anymore
about them. Yeah, mm-hmm. which is a shame. But tell us, what is your favorite genre of music to sing? And if my memory serves me correctly, Steve, mm-hmm. I remember you singing with my dad in the house, Frank Sinatra.
Right.
Am I correct? Okay.
Yep, many, many years ago. When we were very young and very beautiful, but you're still very beautiful, so that holds true for you.
Well, you're still beautiful too, and so talented.
But to touch upon that, my musical influences really are Lionel Richie, Luther Vandross, Steve Perry. Those are my musical influences. I really love to sing a beautiful romantic ballad that really helps me connect with my audience.
Oh.
But for me, at this stage of my career...
Can you do a little bit for us?
Can I do a little bit for you? What would you like
to
do?
Yeah, we'd like to hear a little bit of something.
I don't know. One of you girls pick something.
I have another request. I have two requests.
What's the request?
We'll let you choose any romantic ballad, because maybe you're trying out for Gina's upcoming wedding, April 2016.
Yes, Gina.
I'm a very big fan.
Okay.
I'm a very big fan of the national anthem, and we do represent an opera singer, and we had him sing at a couple of the NBA stadiums.
Oh, you need to get me. I do that all the time.
I will definitely help you with that. We'll talk. And I also work with a country music artist, so I was working very closely. But yeah, we can definitely talk about that. But first I have to hear you sing it, because I can't go ahead and promote you if I didn't hear it.
Do you really want me to sing the national anthem in my office right here?
Or just even a small version of it. And then you can go into a romantic ballad for Gina.
Why don't I sing the romantic ballad for you first? Because maybe that will suffice. You know why? Because when you do the national anthem, obviously you can't do that in a low voice. You really have to be able to belt it, and so on and so forth. And I think that you know, right where I am, I'm not going to be able to do that for you right now. So let's see. how about something by, this is a great song that was written by Lionel Richie for Kenny Rogers. All right? You'll know the song. I'll sing you a little bit of it. Lady, I'm your knight in shining armor, and I love you. You have made me what I am, and I am yours. You have come and made me such a fool. There's no other love like our love. And yes, oh yes, I'll always want you near me. Won't you believe in my song, lady? Your love's the only love I need. And beside me is where I want you to be, because my love, there's something I want you to know. You're the love of my life. You're my lady. That's a little bit.
Bravo. I just want you to know, I text my husband and ask him for a divorce. Will you marry me? Can you sing to me every night?
And sing at your wedding. You can sing at your wedding.
Yes, and you can perform. You can sing to me at the wedding.
That was great.
Thank you. So, yeah, for me it's about what really sets me apart, and really what sets Hank Lane apart from, I think, just about anybody that's out there right now is... And am I speaking biasly? Yes, but am I really speaking from the bottom of my heart? What we really do is we really create moments at these events. So all my bands and all our bands are really set to really produce a very unique musical experience completely tailored to our end client. So often than not, MJ and Gina, what you'll see is, you know, you'll see people coming in and they'll be given a list of songs and say, listen, this is what the band plays, pick what you like, and what you don't like, they won't do. We don't do that. We really tailor make the event to fit our clients' needs. And it's, again, I keep stressing it, but it's about creating moments that not only the bride and groom can remember, but all those 200 guests that are in the audience can remember, because that's what makes the phone ring and creates more work and more bookings and so on and so forth. So we're very cognizant of that fact.
Absolutely.
Yes, and we just want to tell all of our listeners out there that if you are interested in learning more about Hank Lane, you can just go to www.hanklane.com to learn more. Which I love your guys' website. We were grooving to the music when we were on it a little earlier.
Yeah, you can.
Doing
the
some
website,
research.
The website is really quite intuitive. It gives you the ability to really dive into it, and you can look at blogs and see what clients are really saying about us. You can really follow us on Twitter and follow us on Facebook and Instagram. Social media is, like, you know, as you guys know, it's your industry. Is probably the hottest thing that's out there right now. And, you know, we're really in tune to that to try to connect with our end client. But, yeah, you can follow me on Steve DeLisi on my fan page on Facebook, as well on Twitter and Instagram as well. But any questions related to Hank Lane, you can either call them directly, ask for me, or you can ask for any of my any of our partners there will be able to pick up the phone and help you guys out. So it's great.
So, Steve, I have a question for you. So what do you tell brides who, you know, might be on the fence between a DJ and a band? Because I know that some people are really into having a DJ, other people are into having a band. So what do you tell them as far as how to make a decision?
Well, this is really what it is. You know, Gina, people, like I said, the industry changed. Back in the 80s and 90s, all you had was bands that were working because the DJ situation really didn't take hold. And the reason why it changed specifically is that the client, not that it's gotten more sophisticated, but the industry has changed. So what do I tell a bride that wants a DJ over a band? To me, honestly, always a live band is going to add more life to your event. It always comes with a little bit more of class and elegance to an event, to an affair. But, you know, sometimes you know somebody's just dead set on a DJ. How do we usually change that? When you listen to our bands, when we do specific songs that would normally hear a DJ do it, we do it just like the DJ, or probably even better in some cases. And when you hear it live, it resonates through the room at a much different level. And it creates a level of energy and a wow effect. When you walk in and you see a DJ standing there with some speakers standing up for a wedding, per se, you'll look at it, but it may not create that wow effect that you're looking for at probably the most important day of your life. That's the reason why I would go with a wedding. It's not to downplay having a DJ or a band. It's really at your preference. Because, you know, we do a lot of DJ work. You know, our DJ division, more than music, is in the forefront of the whole DJ industry with DJs and MCs. But if I can just, so I hope that answers your question.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I think that's great. And
yeah, I don't want to dispel people. You know, a bride's out there saying, he says I shouldn't do a DJ. I want you to do what really works for you. But I think if you had to put them side by side for a wedding, to me, there's nothing like a live band that can really deliver what it needs to deliver. But that takes me into another division that, you know, we have here as part of our Hank Lane Productions. There's another division called Fusion Lighting and Production. Now, what that is, and MJ, you'll be interested in this too. We own a large scale lighting and design division. So we've done, we can do the Super Bowl and Super Bowl after parties and stuff like that. And we're probably very well known within the tri-state area and all the major hotels in the city. We currently do all the lighting for David DeTerra's My Fair Wedding, all those events. So we're a design company. And the reason why we wanted to bring this under our umbrella is when we sit with the client, you want to be able to deliver to the client everything to address their needs that fits, that falls into your scope from a company standpoint. So we have a lighting division called Fusion, which is, and that's owned, and the president of that is Marcus Mortredini, who's probably one of the most sought-after lighting designers right now in the industry. We have another division called Creative Games, and I think this is what really is, I'm really excited about. And the reason why I say I'm excited about it is when clients come in and they book an event and they say, well, we need something really cool, or a corporate client, because we're very big in the banking industry in doing corporate events, team-building events, and so on and so forth. Clients will come in and say, we're looking for an attraction, or we're looking for a specific type of a game, and we don't know what to do. So what does Eric Morrow and his team do? Eric will sit with the client and actually design a program and games to go around that, to address the client's needs. So we build specific games that the clients, well, one of a kind games built specifically for the client, and have that at the event. So you're not picking from a certain bunch of things. We actually design games for them. So that's been a very big growth market for us right now. So, you know, there's a lot of...
give us an example.
Give us an example.
Like a bit of a game. Right.
Okay, so we had an example where it was a team-building event, and they were very much into... they were looking for some kind of an aspect where there were teams, and they wanted to tie it into some kind of a show, and it was for... it was like a tweens type of thing, a boys' tweens thing, and he didn't want the basketball type of thing. So what did we do? We came out and we designed a program where the boys in that event were going to train as gladiators. And we had them come in and we had them with jousting sticks and all sorts of things, and at the end they won a prize and they received awards and so on and so forth. So that was one from a social aspect. But from a team building aspect, you know, we did stuff with like Minute to Win It, where we brought Minute to Win It in, and we designed a concept around the corporate structure, the corporate branding, and we had them interact as the leaders and the COOs of the companies interact in this Minute to Win It with his specific divisions, where they played against each other. So they had to work as a team, but it was something they could identify with, and we built that right there at their on the offsite. So we're very big at doing these types of things where people would say, wow, I didn't think that would work, and then it actually works really well.
Wow. It's really, you know, and that's good to know, because we do a lot of what you're talking about, the activation brand building, and we can certainly work together on some of these things for our clients. So thank you for sharing that with us. That's great.
Oh, no. Brand building is probably the biggest, the hottest thing out right now, I think, especially
right.
In your industry, you're always looking as being a leader in what you do. How do I improve my client's brand? How do I market that brand better? So on and so forth.
No, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
So we do have one question, because when MJ was talking about your bio, so you performed at Ivanka Trump's wedding. What was that like?
What was that like? It was...
Was it just, was there like gold everywhere?
No, I got to tell you, she's probably one of the most sweetest, elegant people I've ever played for. And the Donald was very, it was very strange for me, because there's two dynamics. When I did Star Search, right after Star Search, I signed a contract with Sissy Houston, and I opened, Sissy Houston was voted Mother of the Year back in, I think, 1980-something, and it was me and Whitney performed for her at Trump Plaza. And at that time, the Donald... and I have to say, and MJ, if you've ever had the opportunity to meet him, Donald knows everyone's name, and he remembers everyone's name. And what Gina, what was surreal about it, is I'm watching him walk through the hallways, saying hello to the janitor that's cleaning the floor by his first name, and asking him how his family is. And being a young guy at that time, I said, "Wow, this guy is really, really cool," you know. And I performed, And then after that, we went upstairs to Donald's suite, and we had champagne, and it was me and the wonderful Whitney next to me and her brother Gary. And Sissy was there, and my manager at the time, Tony Chambers, and we were having champagne and talking, and he was just very engaging. And he said to me, "You know, Steve, that was great, and you can always perform at my hotel." So what happens? Wow. You know, years from then, I'm at Trump National in Bedminster, New Jersey, in a tent, and Donald's dancing with Ivanka, and I remember Donald speaking on the microphone, and he said to the crowd, "You know, I'm very proud of all my children and how Ivanka really is, you know, just as any father would say about their daughter." But it was really nice to see this larger-than-life character such as Donald really speaking like this. But I got to tell you, Ivanka is probably one of the most loveliest. It was an easy wedding to do. Was it a little stressful? Of course. You know, you're performing for her. You want to make sure it's great. But, you know, it was with myself. Harris Lane, who's the president of Hank Lane Productions, we had the opportunity of doing that job together, and it was great. It was great.
Wow, that's such an honor.
Yeah,
no, and
great.
She's awesome. I've had the pleasure to actually spend some time with her in the Hamptons many years back.
Right.
And she was so different than, and I don't want to, not speaking negatively about anybody, but she was very different than Paris Hilton and her sister were there, and it was like the whole trust fund crowd, you know.
Right.
Peter Morton's son, Harry. So it was just nice to see him. We actually had a lot of great conversations and a little bit in depth when she was talking about her parents and they were going through the divorce and how she felt and stuff. It just seemed really down to earth. And the few times that I did meet Mr. Trump, he, like you said, he's a leader. He's a powerhouse. He reminds me a lot like Pat Riley. He commands the room when he walks in. And every time I met him, I've been with a couple of the New York Giants clients. And
right.
He's always as down to earth and very welcoming and inviting everybody to his, to come out and play golf. And I remember him telling me, "You don't play golf. You just host the events. What fun is that? Come out and play anytime, you know." And he's always great. So, but really what I'm intrigued by, because I absolutely, absolutely love the way she used to sing as Whitney Houston. What was that like?
You know, it was really, really a surreal thing for me, because I remember, she came on stage. This was, it's kind of like 6 degrees of separation, but I'll tell you a short story, and I'm sure I had nothing to do with it, but it was still something that was kind of crazy at the time. I was in the Village while I was doing Star Search with my manager at the time, which was Tony Chambers, who was Sissy's partner. In the management company. And we were down there with my manager and a stylist in the Village looking for clothes for this upcoming event that I was doing with Whitney and Sissy.
Mm-hmm.
And who walks in? Bobby Brown and his entourage. And Bobby just came off of the he just left New Edition, and his My Prerogative album just popped. And the stylist started talking, so on and so forth, and they said, "What are we doing, and who's doing what?" And they said, "Steve's going to be at Trump Plaza with, you know, doing an event to honor Sissy Houston, and Whitney's going to be there." And Bobby's eyes just lit up and said, "I love that girl. I'd love to meet her." And then the stylist spoke, and then all of a sudden, 6 months later, he met her, you know. But the surreal thing was she was such a very quiet and reserved girl. When I had the experience to meet her and hear her, and then all of a sudden she'd come on stage and she'd blast "The Greatest Love of All" and make the hair on your arm stand up, you know. But I remember mm-hmm. her sitting next to us, and we were, you know, I was sitting and talking with her, and she was playing with her niece and nephew at the time. And she's just a regular, you know, she was a regular girl. Well, you know, she was a Ford model prior to her really coming on the scene as a singer. Yeah, but that was my experience. The voice was just spectacular, spectacular.
Incredible. Really incredible. Such a sad story. Sad mm-hmm. ending. So now on to something wackier, we should call it. I know you must have some crazy wedding stories, because I have a few just attending weddings. So can you share any? Of course, leave out the names. but any crazy wild stories?
Yes, one wild story. I had a bride, and this was at a place in I can't even say the place, but it was near the water.
In New Jersey.
It wasn't in New Jersey. It was in
really.
It was like in one of the boroughs, maybe the Bronx. I'm not sure, but it was by the water. And this particular bride was a little bit of an emotional person, and I guess when she had a little bit too much alcohol, she became a little bit more emotional. And she told her husband at the time that she was going to jump off the bridge into the water, thinking that it was a 2-foot drop. She actually jumped off the side of the place, and she fell about 12 feet into the water. Needless to say, she came out soaking wet and crying and dirty, and they had to get another gown on her and so on and so forth. So that was one.
Wow.
That was one. Another one was a wacky one where the bride showed up and the groom didn't show up, and we had the event anyway.
Still at the
really?
Party. All right.
Because the party was paid for anyway. So... As far as wacky wedding stories, I could probably write a book, and we could probably stay on for maybe another segment of just wacky stories, because there's thousands of them, and some that I don't feel comfortable saying on the radio.
Right. It's for when we meet up and have a couple of drinks in us.
Absolutely.
Well, this is perfect, because MJ's also going to write a book one day about all the crazy stories she has as a publicist. So you guys can tell it as a series.
But you know what?
I'm
mad at you, because every time I want to hook up with you, we never hook up. We need to hook up and have a drink.
But I would love that. You know what? You send me 2 or 3 dates, and I'm there.
Okay. Wonderful.
Seriously,
Wonderful.
We have a lot to talk about.
Absolutely.
But lastly, I always love talking about philanthropy and all the great works of talented people such as yourself and people who use their influence to make this world a better place. And I know, Steve, you have a giving heart, and I'm sure you're out there trying to do whatever you can to make some people happy. So can you share maybe some of the organizations that you work with or anything that you do?
Well, I'm a big proponent of there's an organization called Wings Over Wall Street.
Mm-hmm.
And what Wings Over Wall Street has been, I had a very dear friend of mine named Mike Beyer, who succumbed to ALS when he turned 40. And Mike was just a gentleman that was full of life and full of energy. And I'll give you a little bit of the backstory on that. I was driving into the city one day, and I saw him on 23rd Street. I won't bore you with this, but it's important that you understand the backstory. And Mike's standing on 3rd Avenue and 23rd Street, and I pass by my car, and I pick him up, and I said, "Mike, what are you doing?" He goes, "I got to go to the doctor. Can you give me a lift? It's on this block." I said, "Sure." So we hop in the car. And now Mike is a guy that's, always the life of the party and, hey, let's do this, let's do that. What did you do? That type of thing. And I said, "Mike, what's the problem?" And he goes, "I got pains in my legs, and, they're still trying to figure out what to do, but, it's kind of been diagnosed." I said, "Well, have you tried magnets or anything like that to help you?" And he goes, "Steve, to be honest with you, I have ALS. Please don't tell anyone." So that, for mm-hmm. me, was a burden to hold. He was 38 at the time. And I remember going to work, and then he said to me, as it became public, that he started this organization called Wings Over Wall Street, where the Wall Street community would contribute money to raise awareness for ALS. And I think till this date, it's probably raised in excess of $10 million, but where do I come into that? I would always sing the national anthem for them. I would always come in and, provide my band as close to cost as possible for the organization to do that, to give back as far as that. But the very important thing for me was that when he was 40 years old, he said to me, "I want you to do my birthday for me, and I want you to come in and mm-hmm. sing." So it was at the Lighthouse on Chelsea Piers, and he wanted me to sing New York State of Mind and stuff like that for him. And at that point in time, he was no longer had the ability to speak. He was just in a wheelchair on a tube. And I sang New York State of Mind, and he passed away about 2 weeks later. But, you know, I'm very much involved with that. No, there's you know, you have to take good out of it. And the good out of it for me was another organization called Midnight Summer's Dream that Hank Lane is very much involved in as well. I was able to sing and give back to them from that standpoint. You know, more often than not, you know, being philanthropic, especially in the music business that we're in, is important to us because it gives us the ability to, you know, show our wares and deliver a good musical experience to a client. And the client appreciates. I mean, listen, they all know that, you know, you can't do a lot of things for free. But what you can do is be there, be present, deliver a good product, and help them raise money. And I think for me, when we've performed at some of these events, you know, we actually work as to help them raise and get the money out there. And we've actually been able to help raise a lot of money for a lot of these organizations. So
that's great.
That's it from
that's
our
what standard. They need the funds and they need awareness. And Steve, I always knew you were a good guy, so kudos to you. And I can't thank you enough for joining us today. It's great to catch up with you, and a pleasure having you on the show. And we hope you can come on again soon.
Absolutely, anytime. And,
fantastic. And
yes, and we want to make sure everyone checks out Steve on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. On Facebook, go to www.facebook.com/SteveDeLisi123. On Twitter at DeLisi Steven, and on Instagram at @number1singer with underscores, _1_singer. And then for Hank Lane, make sure you go to www.hanklane.com.
Right, and then also when you're on that Hank Lane website, everyone, please look to our other companies as well, which is Fusion Lighting, Creative Games, and More Than Music. Please, it's very important. You'll be able to get to see the whole suite of what we can actually produce for you guys.
Excellent. And again, I'd like to thank everybody for joining us today, and I hope you enjoy the rest of the week, and be sure to find Live with MJ on Facebook and Twitter for updates on all of our upcoming shows. Steve, great to speak to you, and I look forward to catching up again soon.
Love you guys. Bye-bye.
Love you too. Bye-bye, Steve.